and met some of the greatest people in the world. Seem like there are some people, if I'm wrong, fix me. It seems to me they're never very happy, and they remember the wrong people to keep them happy. But I met some of the best people in the world in this country right here. I met, they tell me, B.H. Miller's grandson is in here tonight. I remember preaching the camp. Hi, pal. I preached a camp meeting with boys in the camp meeting 1 year, and they told me about B.H. and the resurrection. I've never forgotten it. And I asked him, would you preach for me today? And I asked the brethren permission to do that. And I said, would you preach for me today on the resurrection? I asked him to do that. You may not remember that, but that's what I did. And since that day, the resurrection meant more to me than it ever has. When he interviewed Brother Isaiah and many others and asked them, did they see the hope of a future resurrection? That's the way he asked them. And Brother David said, yes, I do. He said, I shall be satisfied when I wake with his likeness. He interviewed Isaiah, said, did you see the hope of a future resurrection? He said, yes, and the earth shall cast out the dead. And he went from one prophet to another. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall arise. And on he went. And that was the, and his grandson's here. And I feel honored to have him with us here in memory of his grandfather. God never forgets. God never forgets. I know when they threw my buddy in jail at Fort Smith, Arkansas, when we were in a meeting at Van Buren, we were both unmarried and just big boys and out preaching, and we got over in Fort Smith, and I noticed the harlots working the streets and going to the hotel with the soldier boys. You know, preachers may be dumb, but they're not blind. And they arrested us for passing out tracts. They arrested us for passing out tracts. And I personally saw them harlots as they hooked their arms in the soldier boy's arm and down the alley to the hotel, the chief hotel. I observed that. But they got rough on us like the devil does, and they took us down to the police station and checking us out. And I wasn't old enough to register at that time. The fellow with me hadn't got his classification card. Mail was chasing us. We were holding revivals and hadn't got his box. They put him in the jailhouse and sent him upstairs and threatened him, and I don't know what all. And I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I'll get to it. And I fasted the 5 days there praying for him while they had him in jail, and we 5 miles an hour walk over there where he's staying and pray for him. And what sprung him, I went into the chief police, and I said, there's nothing wrong with this man. He's better than any man you've got on this force. I don't know how I said that, but it did. Why I said it, really. But it's the thing I needed to say. It made him so mad he wanted to whoop me and threaten to jail me, but he said he wasn't old enough and just stormed out and left it with his deputy. He just got beside himself. Just had a fit. You don't like your daddy did or your husband did or you did. You know me, just a fit. Just had a regular fit. Well, I thought I'd ruin him now. In the meantime, up in the jail was that old preacher boy that was telling all them thugs when they brought out the cornbread and red beans, bow your heads, boys. We're going to thank God for this food. And he had them captivated up there. He's doing a better job than I was doing down the revival. That was the morning the chief had that fit. I come back the next morning. He said, I'll take you up myself, son. No, you don't take me. I'll go up. Turned him out, and that old preacher boy come down there whimpering and whining and said, oh, no, I'll do scared to death like that. No, he just looked at him and said, did you know the Bible said the very hairs of your head are all numbered? He said, yeah, I thought it was in there somewhere. Said, amen. My mind went back to old time. I thought of B.H. and what preachers have been through, but we're glad to be here. I just feel kind of embarrassed a little that Mike has had a special service, because I'm really not a special service speaker. I have put folks to sleep preaching, and I woke a few up preaching. But I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks. It's good to come here. I've been praying with some of your people again, and I'm so glad to get to be back here with you and alive. I'm supposed to be dead. Greatest Heart Doctor Norman Oklahoma Anwar from Pakistan. Check him out. GW was one of his patients. Birdsong. But he said, this man cannot be alive. There's no way this man can be alive. But I was, and I am. And that's right, sister. Glory be to God. That's where it's at. I have one word on my mind, and when Mike asked me to preach tonight, I said, Lord, what in the world can I say? I'm full of talk, just like you are, but most of it just like yours. Did you hear that colored woman sing that song? I did in Oklahoma. Well, you're not necessarily needed in his kingdom, but my father would be glad if you decide to come. We can be done without. I'm glad I decided to come. Make them want to sing, you never met a man like Jesus. Never met a man like Jesus. Never met a man like Jesus. Glory to his name. You sang it. Put him in the grave, but the grave couldn't hold him. Never was a man like Jesus. Never was a man like Jesus. Never was a man like Jesus. He rolled my burdens away. Put him on the cross, but the cross couldn't hold him. And never was a man like Jesus. Never was a man like Jesus. Never was a man like Jesus. He rolled my burdens away. I was smoking Prince Albert and Bull Durham, the stinking stuff. Days worked chewing that, smoking Prince Albert and a pitiful stuff you ever seen there. Couldn't quit nothing. Tried to quit everything. Swore off everything. Broke every New Year's resolution ever made just a little while after I made it. Fought by accident and on purpose. That's the only reason they're going to expel me from school for is fighting. Great God, I didn't have no religious background. I didn't stay with anything they taught me. You got devil a hold of you. You got things a hold of you. They're just one remedy. And it ain't daddy. And it ain't mama. And it ain't grandpa. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I cursed by accident and on purpose. I'm ashamed. I ought not tell it. Ain't said a curse word for 52 years. I ain't even had a fight. I seen a deacon or two all have been socked, but I didn't sock him. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You got in the church and you had a falling out. I pastored 9 churches, watched 17 new cars, been on 40 or 50 of them planes by now, and I've never seen a place I was justified in folding up like a cordon and quitting. You don't last as long as a paper shirt and a bar fight if you can't go into a Sunday school class and have a little disagreement without backsliding. I'm not so interested in so many people hollering sanctification real loud, demonstrations about what I want. I don't care how loud you talk about what you believe. If you don't live what the Bible teaches, what you're talking about just falling to the earth right at your feet. Ain't gonna get nowhere. Get nowhere. Whew, have mercy. You know what I'm going to preach on tonight? It's the simplest word as you ever heard, and you never heard it preached on in your life. If you did, raise your hand. Hasty. It won't embarrass me. If you've heard hasty preached on, raise your hand. I've never preached it in my life. I didn't really know that it was that in the scriptures that much. Hasty. You know what the definition of it is? He that answereth a matter before he heareth it. Did you ever in your life see anybody that answered a matter before they heard it? I would kick that pastor out. What for? Well, that sister's good as is in the church, and she told me that it wasn't no good. Well, what's wrong with him? Well, I don't know for sure. Well, what's the matter with him? I don't know nothing about the matter. I'm going to preach on hasty tonight. He that answers a matter before he heareth it. That I've talked to some people like that about doctrine. They started answering something they never knew anything about. Come on now. Yeah. Fella talked to a friend of mine and said, I'll tell you how I pastored church now. I can just know because I've been around. Said, if you ever pastored one? He said, no. He said, you do not know anything about it. Hasty, he that answers the matter before he hears it. How deep's the sea? It's 2 miles deep. How'd you know? Well, I just answered it before I found out. Well, it's a lot deeper than that. I'm just going to preach on hasty. Is it in the Bible? Let's look at Proverbs 19:2. Also, that the soul without knowledge, it is not good. That the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. But he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. You get too hasty and you wind up in the beer joint. You get too hasty and you wind up in places you have no place being. Your little feet take you where your body shouldn't be when you get too hasty. Let's read that again. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. We got a lot of folks that are hasty with their little feet tonight, and it's already taken them to places that's going to destroy their soul. We got some. Now, I'm a holiness preacher simply because of that Bible, not because of anybody but Christ, the Word of God. But we've got some performers down in Oklahoma. When they first came to Oklahoma, the ladies had nice, beautiful, long hair, and no hair on a woman is any more beautiful than long hair. Well, and we had some great, good preachers, but they got hasty. And their feet led them to things they shouldn't have went to. Because when Pappy came back to Oklahoma City with his afro, he no longer preached against what O.R.'s meetings were doing. But when he first came, he laid him out from the 7,000-seat auditorium platform in Oklahoma City. Pappy laid him out, but that's before Pappy got his afro. And Mama put on makeup and cut her hair and got her beautiful long blue dress dragging out the floor. The good ones. Brother Moore, you too hasty. No, I'm not. I'll check that out. That ain't hasty. But their feet led them into groups that led them far from God, and they lost their anointing. And don't tell me they didn't. I know they did. The first campmate never rode to in my life was with Oral Roberts and his father. His father preached for me at Kellyville, Oklahoma. You know what he said? Did you expect me to come up here and preach like a Baptist? I'm not knocking a Baptist, but I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a charismatic. I'm not a charismatic. I'm a Christian. When I first came to this country, the wild people blew through here and took 50 young people out of your daddy's church. They prophesied, and I did too. That's what's got them shook up. I've been prophesying around them for years. Stood on the side of Brother McFarland, that woman that blowed in from... I'm preaching on hasty. I ain't going to get too hasty tonight. I got to take it easy and go slow. But when that old gal stood on his daughter with a mosquito bar top on, and that's wrong. You getting too hasty when your feet will run you into evil and sin if you don't watch what you're doing. Can't you look in the mirror and see David? Glory be to God. Got a pair of britches on and see plumb through? Take them off and get some wire wool ones in the middle of August if you have to. Bless God, but don't get too hasty. Can you see? Amen. You better. I'm telling you. Hasty. Get too hasty in the matter. Chasing after things you have no business. Chasing after. Going after things you have no business going after. That's what's happened to a lot of our church world. They've got hasty. You preach a little holiness, try to get mad. Get mad. I've had them so mad they want to smack me in the mouth. I've had so mad they want to attack me. Our best holiness preachers we ever had put on shoe leather had folks threaten to whip them. I've got so many thoughts in mind, I'll never get them all. If I don't worry, there'll be plenty left. I was preaching over there in Arkansas where they greased the wagon seats and screwed the taps out to the end of the thread. Do you, anybody ever ride old-time wagons in this country? Your grandpa and grandma, when they took off from church, the wagon wheels rolled off, and the ladies had grease all over their clothes, and the old boy stood out in the woods and laughed at them. They were homeless people. But I'll tell you what shook them up. When the power of God fell, we got a bunch of Easter folk just run off from the power of God. They departed from it. Their feet has took them to the wrong place. I want to tell you what happened to them same old boys right down there. And I know I was in there 45 years ago or 47 when it started. One of them went out there and took a wagon wheel in the dark. And they had the service under like an arbor out there. Did you ever see 80-year-old grandmothers dancing in the spirit? Did you ever see babies laying on pallets? I know you have them on pallets. And you... people dancing amongst them with their eyes shut, their hands in there. I've seen that happen. Well, old Charlie Long, he is one of them wicked fellas. He took this wagon wheel out and rolled it down the hill, and he is pretty good at that, and rolled it right in to the aisle that led between the seats, and them babies laying on pallets and grandmother's 80-year-old dancing. I didn't know God rolled wagon wheels. That's the first time I know that God rolled wagon wheels. He rolled that thing down. It missed everybody, everything. Rolled up to the front pew and leaned over against it and stopped. And Charlie grabbed a pine tree. And Jesus said, "Give me your heart, Charlie." He said, "I'm going to do it. I can't do it." But he did. And I helped bury him years later. I was at his bedside when he died. Charlie Long, saved by the power of God. Let me tell you something. Old Charlie and his old buddy... old Charlie and his old buddy carried 100-pound sacks of sugar when pine knots made that white lightning down there. And that old boy had been drunk for 6 months, old Charlie's buddy. He come to church in my meeting. He staggered in drunk, shook hands with everybody in the house, couldn't hardly start service for him. After church, he got up and shook hands with everybody again. I said, "He's still drunk." Next morning, a little after daylight, I went down to Free Will Baptist, went to a little store, and went down there to buy something to eat. I was standing by myself, cooking for myself. That's where I liked to invent something better than B.F. Goodrich did. I made gravy you could bounce. I never see nothing like it. I made gravy, girls, you could bounce that gravy. You could just squeeze it up in a socket and it'd bounce off the wall. I said, "I've almost invented something." I went down to the store to get me something to eat. I couldn't cook nothing. B wasn't with me, standing by myself. They said, "What happened to Caldwell last night?" I said, "What do you mean, what happened to him?" "I didn't think he got saved." Said he's down here when we opened the door saying he got old-time religion last night. We didn't have to beg his wife to get saved. She was about 3 days getting there. But when she got there, she was so saturated with what God done to him, she just throwed her hands up when she come in the door, shouted all the way to the altar crying. Got saved. Well, I'm going to get off this minute, but I'm preaching on Hastings. It's going to have to be a long message because a man's fault. Call a special service like this, and me, God raised me up like he did when I looked like I'm going to die. I can't just up here and just put, and blame everybody because I couldn't preach. And if you'd amen me, it wouldn't have made no difference. You're what you tie yourself off on. That's where you're at. If they'll back me, I can do it. I don't have a thing in the world. Going into all the world, if they'll all holler amen, you can make it. If they'll all holler amen, you'll do good. If they'll all back you, you can build church. If you don't, take your tongue out at them and tell them they missed the opportunity. What you boy do, put that church in the air up yonder. That's the thing to do. Bless my heart. I just get so carried away preaching, talking about God and the Bible. I can't hardly stay with the Bible. When I get in those experiences, I ought to leave them alone. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You've got to have God to have the victory. You know what Caldwell said? He got saved. God, he said, if there's anything wrong. Now listen to me. If I lie, God may kill me in the pulpit. He said, if there's anything wrong with stuff, send me where they don't know what it is. You know why I just closed the meeting? Bond, Kentucky. Do you know what they had hanging in the barn right across from where I was living? Tobacco. Right down on every barn in there, right down the road and up to tobacco. Watch the Lord work. You put God to test sometime. I dare you to. You know what you may be afraid to if you... Is there a God? Be careful with that. You're going to ask him to show you, shake your house out from under you, hit you in the head with the lightning. Danger to spout off. Hasty. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You're going to be running short on a mind here now.
Be careful. Watch your mouth. Your mouth will get too hasty, you know. How big was that deer? It must have been that. Well, hold it, dear. My God, help. God, help. God, help. Look, big as a mule. I know, dear, as big as a mule. Lord God, amen. Send me where they don't know what it is. What's the Lord work? Where would God send a man? Well, I've been a lot of places where, now, in the middle of Arizona, he sent him to Kentucky. What's the Lord work now? He heard that old newborn boy. Just saved him. Say, if there's anything wrong with snuff, send me where they don't know where it's at. He sent him to Kentucky to work on a pipeline where they raised tobacco. Hanging in the barns right tonight. That's where God sent him. And sent him to a little store. He was working on a pipeline. And he went up to the little store. They all handled snuff and tobacco. He said, listen. And he went in there and said, give me a 16-ounce glass of Garrett. Did you ever know what Garrett? Anybody ever hear of a 16-ounce glass of Garrett? Not a snuff dipper. It used to be snuff dipper in the house. Thank God for that. But Garrett was snuff. Ground up tobacco into snuff form. Your old grandmas used to take a peach tree limb and make the end of it flare out and dampen it and stick it in that bottle and that can and stick it in a lip and have a ball of it that big around just a little while. And that's what they, instead of sticking in here, they used that. He sent him to a store right there where they sold tobacco and raised tobacco. And he went in and said, give me a 16-ounce glass of Garrett. He said, Garrett? Who? Garrett? What do you mean, Garrett? Snuff, he said. Didn't you ever hear snuff? What in the world are you talking about? We never heard no such thing as snuff. Right before they raised tobacco, God sent him in there and worked a miracle. He quit his snuff. Come back home, he'd ask God to do that. Send me where they don't know what it is. You'd think he'd send him to the mountains of Colorado way up in there somewhere, but send him where they raised tobacco. A miracle. Well, I'm going to get back with my message. That don't cost no extra. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, do you know what I'm preaching on, hasty? Made, done, or decided without due care. Don't you wish you hadn't been as hasty about some things in life? The Bible has a message in it about too hasty. I don't know what's the will of God or not, but I'm going to do it anyhow. You're too hasty with that. Made, done, or decided without due care. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto him. And that's what that hasty business will get you into. And Proverbs 18:13, blowing your mouth. I didn't have it any quieter anywhere, and I love it. Hasty. 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 Amen. Don't you wish you hadn't tried a piece of your mind on him or her? Just left you a little short, didn't it? And what you said backfired on you, didn't it? It got you in a jam, didn't it? You couldn't hardly get out of it, could you? Too hasty. I'll tell you what the answer to it. Well, what's the problem? Well, I don't know none. How you going to give me the answer to it if you don't know nothing about the problem? If I was a pastor, I'll tell you, would you? I'll tell you what I would you. I'll tell you what I'd do, would you? You better watch that. Oh, I didn't think about it hitting everybody in the church. Is somebody right here? God sent me from Oklahoma to tell you to put the brakes on that and slow down on that and quit that hasty judgment and that hasty mouth. And you got to slow up, aren't you? Going to get yourself in it to your eyes if you ain't careful. Oh, I'm just called to preach. You know, he didn't call me to go out and satisfy everybody and try to be mean or smart, Ellie. But you know, God called me to preach when I come out of a family, all they done moonshine, cuss, and rare and everything. I never had no raising in religion. I never dreamed about trying to preach the gospel, the Bible to the people. But that's what it's called to do. And that's what I've been doing all these years. All right, let's look at it a little further. I know you want to preach a long while. Thank you. It seems like I can hear somebody saying, I don't care if he preaches 30 minutes. Here in Proverbs 21:5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want.
Is the Bible right? Does these scriptures have any meaning? You get too hasty and you wind up in poverty, spiritually and sometimes physically, because you acted too fast. Let's read that again. You got to read that slow to get anything out of it. 21 and 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. They make a good garden if you're diligent. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. You get too hasty about it and you lose what you started. Get too rash about it and you lose what you sow. But the thoughts of the diligent, no man is diligent that leaves God out. No woman, boy, or girl is diligent that leaves God out. We have some precious children in our little church at home, two girls, I'm thinking about, they just been through college. They just graduated. I've passed them since as children. And they've went through college, and girls, they had long hair all the way through. Dressed modest all the way through. All the way through. They butted head with them hard-headed, far-from-God, devilish professors. Not everyone, but them, I said. So them is a group, and there's a group of them. They stick their tongue out that there's a God. If there be a God, let him kill me, he will. That's what poor ignorant Ingersoll said. If there be a God, let him strike me dead in so many minutes. God killed him. But you see, you don't order God's clock. He don't plan on this, you popping off. If there be a God, let him trip me right now to prove to me he's God. He ain't waste no time tripping you. Don't mess with you. He'll get you after a while. He got anger, so he got it. He got it. Hasty. Some people get too hasty. They make too quick a move. You know, I don't know who this is for. Probably not a soul in here. I'll tell you probably who it's for. That old boy down there below you that you know is too hasty with his mouth. Any decisions. As many a father wishes they'd have slowed up a little on what they said. As many a mother wishes they'd slowed up a little on what many a boy and many a girl wish they'd have prayed to God and helped them run their eyelids a little and not their mouth so much they got too hasty. Who in the world am I preaching to here? This is probably not need to hear, son. But this is what you're getting, because in Oklahoma, while I was praying, seemed like the Lord whispered, haste, never preached on it in my life. That's the reason I ain't doing so good. I ain't never practiced on it or nothing. Hasty. Wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. I just got too hasty with that. Boys, have you ever had to ask your wife, forgive you for mouth running off too much to her? You're too hasty about it. You ought to be like that old boy that eat in his country meal. I was raised before, cooked on the old wood stove, slid this back on. How ladies ever done that? That got too hot. They slid that back over here and that back. And they cooked some of the best meals in the world. But that old boy's wife cooked everything, and he liked to eat everything she cooked and got through. He said, did you like it? He said, well, it tastes a little woody. Eat all of it. Liked everything she cooked. Don't we get a little too hasty sometimes? Amen. When you find out after you've got too hasty what that sister's going through, you said, oh, I wish I'd have never said that to her. I wish I'd have never said that to her. When you find out what that old boy's going through, you say, oh, I wish I'd have never said it. You know I'm talking to somebody in this house tonight. If I couldn't teach Sunday school any better than that, I'd quit. Well, you ain't teaching it, and as soon as you start, you're going to quit too. I pastored the church. Oh, I'm just preaching a shotgun message to everybody. I just got one night. I got to get everybody in here. I pastored the church in a blowhard. But just a plumb blowhard. He come. He knowed it all. He knowed everything. If only he hadn't had a good job. But he didn't. He'd like them welders I used to weld with in the oil field. They could talk about welding. I said, I don't talk about it. I'll show you how it's done. I learned it from my daddy. I went around them, too. I got more money than they did. I didn't talk about it. I just produced the weld. Show me where it's undercut. I welded so the slag raised up on the back of the weld and curled itself off. I didn't even have to slag it. You got to get with it and do that. I'm just telling you, I've been a welder. But you know what? People get too hasty.
with their judgment and with their doings and what they say. They get too hasty with it. And as I said, I feel sure we've got somebody right in here that the good Lord wants to help about that. He ain't going to get it, but he's warning you to watch that. Slow that down. Slow it down. If there's a God, there is a God. If God wants to save me, he will. You're too fast on that mouth right there. He ain't going to more save you or nothing unless you yield to his conviction and bow to his altar and ask him to. He won't chase you down to hunt you. He's going to deal with you, man, woman, born girl, in love and say, come on to me and I'll help you. Brother Moore, I'm not trying to knock you out with this hastiness, but I'm trying to get you in with it. I've got so many good thoughts on that. I can't answer them all. I'm going to have to go on or I'll be here all night. I've got to go over there, rest tomorrow. I want to be over there. I'm anxious to get over there, and I'm anxious to be right here. Listen to this, Mike. Ecclesiastes 5 and 2. Be not rash with thy mouth. Do you know what that means, Sister Pastor? That be rash with your mouth. Hasty is what that rash means. Now, living with a man like you, living with his hard not to be rash with your mouth. And I'm on your side, you see. I'm on your side. You get this old, you don't pay no attention. But it's hard not to be hasty with a man like this. It's hard not to be hasty sometimes or rash with your mouth. Do you know you had that trouble? I had a woman in my church had that trouble one time. I've had 9 of them. You'll have to guess where it was. But I had a woman had the had mouth trouble bad. She is real rash with her mouth. If you don't like the word hasty, we won't preach on the word rash. Same thing as hasty. She didn't rise with it. She said, he's got the PA too loud. I can't stand it. She couldn't stand the gospel. It wasn't the PA. And she sat back there with her fingers in her ears. Oh, why am I doing all this? I can preach 6-7 messages straight, never get on folks. But it seemed like I never have preached the gospel if I don't do it a little. She sat with her fingers in her ears. PA's too loud. I can't stand it. It's about driving me crazy. She's already crazy. She has to be drove crazy. One night I said, Deacon, turn it off over there. Flip it off. Just ease it off. At church, I got heifers in the lawn. I said, how do you like the nightmare? He said, still too loud. Said, he needs to turn the thing down there. God bless you. I love you, but I don't know what you're into and what you said, but you may have to repent of what you said. You may have to back out on what you thought. You may have to ask somebody to forgive you how you acted. You may have got too hasty. You answer the matter before you know anything about the matter. I'll tell you what I think about it. Well, what do you know about it? Well, I can't say. I don't know for sure. I don't know nothing hard about it. Well, how can you answer it then? We got folks doing that. We've got people, children, that's telling the old man now, and I am old, that how this is. It don't matter how you look, how you dress, what you wear, God looks at the heart. Well, how much? Then he made a big mistake when he called Israel and told them how to dress and how to eat and how to act physically, and they were different than anybody on the face of the earth, and still are. And Jews still are. If they're two blue Jews, they still are. Oh, I'm not saying they're following the plan of God now, but I mean God had a plan for them. He's got a plan for every Christian, every saint, every church, and it's to follow his command. But we got folks of bold now that they shake their fist. There's no God. And that college and children of mine went to, that old professor, there's no God. You heard about that one that said, before his class, has anybody seen God today? Nobody said that. Let it be affirmed there's no God. One little Christian about the website, has anybody seen a professor's brains today? Let it be affirmed that it has none. people get hasty with the mouth. Now watch it, young man. You can feel stout. And you can feel like I did when I was a boy. I ain't saying I was a fighting this thing in the country, but I wasn't raised to take a whipping. Mama told me not to. She said, don't ever take a whipping off of nobody. That's what I was trying to do, keep taking a whipping. Start a few fights, keep taking a whipping. Shame myself. But you know what? Watch that mouth. What did the Bible say? Matthew 12:36, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's so-and-so, ain't the way it's going to be at God's judgment. Every man should give account of every idle word spoken. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I tell you what you said, it ain't what you said. It's what you said. Hasty. I call them up. Be able to preach on tonight, Mike. Ain't worth the money. I'll have it back with you if you're on here tomorrow night. Get the rest of it. But hasty. I love you. God knows it is. But I want you to make it. Did your old-time preacher tell you that? I know what they told you. I come here when Johnny Trevilian was still alive, and V.H. was alive, and many others. Oh, bless their hearts. I was right by the bedside. One of them, especially when he died, when they said he don't know anybody, he don't know anything. We tried to communicate with him. When Vince Wilson was dying, they said he doesn't know anything. I come and asked to see him, said, you're welcome, preacher more, but he won't ever know. He don't know anybody. I leaned over to Vince. He heard my language. He talked my talk. I said, Brother Vance. He said, yeah. I said, who is he? He said, L.D. Moore. He said, there been a lot of good meetings with you. That's right. When he was dying, they said he don't know nothing. Vince, come up out of that. Get right, boy. Get right, girl. Stay right. You're going to die. You ain't going to be able to live on what this modern-day church world is living on, this haste they're putting out. And no standards at all. Wait, let's do that to the Marines. Let's do that to the Navy. Let's do that to the Air Force. Let's do that to the police force. Not a standard in the world. Carry your gun in your hip pocket. Get your 22 or 45 or a 38. Anything you want. And just do what you want to. That works. It don't work with God. I'm not a fanatic. I pray that people is far from God. I packed a woman, didn't have enough money to buy a dress. She used to pour her husband lay to the hog. He wouldn't work. She worked. She raised them children. She didn't have no dresses, hardly no sleeves, no dresses. She got what she get Salvation Army. She couldn't find a lot of time. Didn't even have a quarter to buy a dress. Our ladies in the church made her some dresses and made her some clothes and helped her. And she's got up and got all her children raised. She's a real old mother now. You know, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but I'm going to tell you one thing. We got too many people that's too hasty. What do you want to do now? You can put in your get there before you leave. It's the truth. You can fly to California and it be the same time it was when you left. I mean, we can get in things that spit fire and belch smoke and go around the world 25,000 miles an hour. Did you all hear about, I stay up on the latest. I know y'all probably ain't got it way back in here yet. But did you ever hear of them landing on that, what planet was it? You tell me, young people, tell me. What planet, Mars? Did you know they landed something on Mars? And I don't sound smart, but as soon as they got it landed and they finally took a picture, see, I could have told you it wasn't nobody up there but rocks and stuff myself.
Oh, you heard me.
But why listen to God or God's Bible? Do your own thing. That gets folks into it, David. I've looked through the prison bars at more than one. That's why you're doing in here. I got in the wrong bunch, LD. I got in the wrong. You know when folks listen? When they finally get knocked out so bad and knocked down so bad and skin up so bad, they ain't hardly got no life left. And to find a side, that old preacher man may not just been a ball of wax or an idiot himself. He tried to tell us not to do that. God don't like. You know, folks, children, they don't want nobody to tell them nothing. Ralph, if anybody put your pressure on this, you can move them out of your house tonight, because I know I'm not preaching a popular message. Amen. Pappy Goodman said at the piano and this auditorium in Oklahoma City was 7,000 feet in it, and told us that Oral would miss the mark, and he wasn't what he ought to be. That's before he got his afro on his wife, put on skimpy clothes and cut her hair, and went worldly. Brother Moore, who are you going to stand by? I'm going to stand by them people that taught the word of God to us, and the miracles was wrought under their prayers, and devils cast out, and some of the wildest bootleggers in this country got saved under them. Toward the moon shines up and went on for God. That's who I've got to stick with. I don't sound mean. You can go say he's so stout, I'd hate to sit under him. They don't hate me that bad down home. They don't hate me that bad down at the house. Let's go a little further. Let's look this scripture again. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty. Now, don't get hasty now to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few, sister. Cut down on your words. Why don't God do so? So don't be saying that. I will kill you. Why did God let the flood water come? I'd like to know. Well, I'm an Indian. And our Indian forefathers knew better than plant the corn next to the river where it had run over for 45, 50, 70 years to their knowledge. It always flooded there. And we're going to stop it. Well, when do we're going to make it flood on the other side? Up Kansas City in 51, had a major flood. Like to washed everything out. Where? I'll tell you where. This Indian boy went up on the mountain to pray in the graveyard and looked down on the city. And down next to the river, they built warehouses, Safeway and others, full of millions and millions of dollars worth of stuff. Right next to the river. Any Indian in the world know better than that. But then our insurance company make a barrel of money insuring that. And we build down there, and the river comes out like it does when it has to get the water it needs to wherever it's going. And it floods that, and we're, oh, God, why did you do such a thing? He didn't. Go on, plant your corn back down there again next year, right next to the river. And it said 2 years ago it flooded out, and then 2 years before that it flooded out. It's going to flood out again, too. Go ahead and plant it down there. Go ahead and plant it down there. Rise hasty. They filled in low places in Oklahoma, them builders did, and I love builders, but they just bladed them full of stuff. You build, aren't you, son? They just bladed them full. I was raised down there. I said, Lightning Creek always floods and runs there when it gets full. It ain't flooded for a while, but the way it does, and all them houses they built right there, going to have water all under them in the basements and in the house, and they did. Hasty! Oh, hasty, slow down. Zip, blah, 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 blah. That sign said 35 miles around that corner. Not 45, not 55, not 6, 35. Why did God let me wreck the family car? Cause you was running wide open around that corner that said 35. Blame God for everything under heaven. Why is my teeth rotted out, God? Why? Called sugar. It's called sugar. Give that woman a piece of my mind. You're going to have a piece left, and that's all, too. You're too hasty with that. Now, who needs this tonight? Wouldn't it have been better if I'd have come and tried to say something that agreed with everybody and never said nothing against nothing? Pray tell why preachers and prophets were sent. To tell the Israelites, oh, bless your hearts on what God would do without you. That ain't what they'd done. Huh? God said to that prophet, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. I wish I'd have had a warning before I got that 7-year itch down in Oklahoma. I'd have never messed with them boys I was running with that had that. I'm going to tell you that. We used sulfur and grease and I don't know what all trying to kill that stuff. Poke root. You ever take a bath in poke root? Burn you up! We had to take baths in poke root. Go to church smell like sulfur and grease. Or to school either. I had to quit messing around with that wrong stuff and that wrong crowd. You stand up for the Bible. You read your Bible. Quit that just listening to what everybody on the radio or television says. You get your book down. Study the word sin in it. See where it leads you. You will find out that God is warning you. I mind my own business. A lady in my church I had come to me and said, Brother Pitchmore, I want to tell you something. She is scalded, I guess. I scalded her. I'm a little too rough sometimes. I scald people. I didn't mean to scald them. I meant to get them a pretty good shaking, but I didn't mean to scald them. She said, I tell you what I do. I mind my own business. Seemed like I thought she was a little upset. I said, I practice the same thing. That's just exactly what I do. And my business is tell folks how to live. Now listen, if I didn't know what I'm prescribing for you would work, I'd stop it. But I speak as a fool. When I was a black-headed boy, I was black-headed when I was young. Wasn't raised in religion, knew nothing about God or the Bible. I thought J-O-B was Job. I didn't know it was Job. I thought Psalms was Psalms. Starts with the P. I thought it was Psalms. I didn't know nothing. Ignorant as a hog. God called me to preach. I met a fellow known for years, and he said, what are you doing? He said, what are you doing, LD? I said, I'm preaching. Preaching! I said, what are you doing? I said, you still bootlegging? He said, yeah. Give God a try, youngins. I know what it is. I started young. My mother, father, sister, and brother were lost. I had no help at all. I worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week in the service station. I sold 10, 20, 30, and 40 weight oil out of the same drum for 15 to 50 cents a quart, 35, 40 cents out of the same drum. That's crooked, ain't it? I poured good used oil in there and sold it the same way. I paid 18 cents a gallon for my oil. That's pretty sharp business, ain't it? 18 cents a gallon, I got them 25, 40 cents a quart for it. That's crooked, you know it? You shouldn't take preaching on hasty now. If you ain't careful, you're running up the wrong road. You're running too fast the wrong direction. Slow down. Don't buy everything you read in books. Believe everything you hear. Get the Word of God. The Word of God. God condemned me of all of that. Old Pete, on the place, he'd leave and say, I'm going this direction. Tell my wife I went that way. That's what I've done till that night I got saved, children. Young people, listen to me. I prayed through that night, just an old ignorant, crooked tooth boy. My teeth was, don't you think it's beautiful now? Just got a mother day. Can't hardly eat as much. It's like two horseshoes. Did you know what? At that altar, the devil fought me after I got saved. He didn't know a thing about God's Bible. You'll have to quit work. You can't do that no more. You can't sell oil like that and do that. So I went back next morning. Pete, I said, Pete, I'm talking to young people now, children. Don't your old folks relax. Tighten up, young folks. And you know what? I said, Pete, I'll have to quit. What's happened to you? I couldn't hardly tell him. I couldn't talk. I didn't never testify. But I finally got it out. I prayed at church last night. Never went to church. Wasn't raised church. You did? Yeah. I said, I got to say what's called saved. I'm not about saved. Like I said, the whole handle felt this is good, but I got it from God. I don't know nothing about it. I said, I can't tell your wife no lies no more. I can't sell them oil like that. We can't take them old spark plugs that look pretty good in sandblast and put new paper on them and sell them for new ones no more. I can't do that no more. That's out. He said, stay with it, Rusty. They call me Rusty in Shetland, Shorty. Had three or four different nicknames. Stay with it, Shorty. Quit? No, I don't think about quitting. Stay with me, boy. I thought, well, great God. He didn't run me to get religion. Did you know I've been a Green Light Auto Store manager? Saved all the time. Never cheated nobody. You don't have to be a cheat to be a success, and I've never been no great success. Never will be. Ain't worried about it. But hasty is what I... Don't get too hasty with your statements. What, young person, young lady, you looking for a boyfriend? You know what B done? That's my wife. My wife at home. B, you know what she done? She prayed. Raised a Catholic mother. Oh, no, not God or nothing. When she got bad signal, like to die, she heard about Pentecostal people up the road. Wasn't raised, wasn't went to and told that the Father's the only one could talk to God for you. That's the way she's raised. She said, Mama, I heard about praying people.
up yonder pray for sick folks. They'd get them down here. Well, she said, you can't get to God except you go through the priest. But this girl rejected that somewhere. Got them down, and her daddy run off whiskey. And they're in the house, making it home. And got them in there. They come in there. Them Pentecostals used to do that. I guess most of them still will, if they, with God's will. They just march right in. Sick girl been in the hospital two or three times. Went to pray in prayer, and the power of God fell on her. And God healed her. God healed her. Right there in that Catholic home, God healed her. She went to church and got saved. Young person, she prayed to God about her mate, about a husband. And did you know what? The Lord showed her she'd marry a black-headed man. He didn't show her she'd marry three or four, she'd get me, son. He just showed her one black-headed man. Beautiful feller. Glory to God. Amen. She is in Texas. Young man, you know where I was at? I'll tell you where I was at, son. I was on an 8x10 piece of concrete out in the light that building been tore down and praying out there. There ain't nobody praying in my home with me. They thought I was nuts. Daddy told me thought they was slipping. You know, they thought it was crazy. Did act strange, I tell you that. I prayed through out there at 1008 Southeast 29th Street over who to marry. I didn't know at that time, but I prayed through about that, and she prayed through in Texas. And we met and married. We had a 50th wedding anniversary here a while back. You know what's the matter? A lot of folks just didn't stay with the one God wanted them to stay with. They thought they ought to have to try three or four to see which one they wanted. No, you pray through and get the one God wants, it'll stay together. It'll stay together through the thick and the thin, and it's got thin too. I'm so glad to be with you. If I could just preach about a week and a half here and come up out of these mully grubs I'm in and the doldrums I'm in, we could probably break out here and y'all would all have a big time. But you know when you would? When you pray through. You can't mess with God and fool him. You've got to get down to the bedrock. You've got to be what my uncle did every time it stormed in Oklahoma. We had them too. 17 tornadoes one night right around me. 17 on radar, 17 funnels. That's a bunch of them, man. He is the best to pray through when it stormed. He backslid between every tornado and every storm. Went right back to everything he's doing, but when it go to storming, he's scared to death. Fall on his knees and say, "Oh, God, I'm a-praying to you." Backslide soon as the wind quit. Ain't nobody fooling the Lord, children. Ain't nobody fooling the Lord. Ain't nobody putting it by God. Let's look at another scripture too, and I'm going to close out saying I would have helped you better. I could have helped you better. I should have. It's not your fault. It's mine. But let's look at the book of Acts for just a minute. 19th chapter and 3rd Bible talking to us. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly, hastily. I'm leaving the church. Right now? No, I'm coming one more Sunday, and that's the last time I'm coming. It took the offering. Well, glory to God. Why don't you go to the federal government and tell them, quit taking your taxes? You don't do that to them. And they're hurting you worse than the church is. They hurting you worse than the church is. Amen. May the Lord have mercy upon us tonight. I want to tell you something happened lately, and I want to pray with you. And if you want your money back, don't blame me. You want to hear a complaint out of me, I'll give it back to you. Not a complaint. But have you been too hasty? Did you pass the judgment too quick? Have you been hasty with the Lord and decided you didn't know what he's talking about? Listen, don't you know, I'm not trying to be smart with you, but don't you know the most spiritual men that's ever been here are mostly gone? Mostly, I didn't tell you all of them was, but the most spiritual advisors we had that would fast till their stomachs peel off without food or water to get the message from God that we needed. He's the one that made folks mad. They wanted to whoop the preacher. That's what Charlie Long wanted to do, but I was at his bedside when he died, and he got saved hanging on that pine tree one night, the fellow that rolled the wheel off the wagon down to there. Hanging to the pine tree, and Jesus said, "Give me your heart, Charlie." He said, "No, no, I won't go." He said, "Come to the altar." God talking to him. I won't go. He finally turned loose the pine tree. Somebody said, here comes Charlie Long. Who? Charlie Long. He's the one that busted out the window in the church. He's the one that helped burn the other building down. That's the reason we had the shutters over the windows laid up right upon the eaves and the shutter built over them. It's mean to him. Jesus loved him. Your failures, your faults, your backslidings, everything you've displeased God with, he gave his son to bring you out of that. Charlie came. Charlie got saved. Charlie got saved. I was at his bedside when he died. Died the death of a Christian. Don't you want to be right with God? Don't get too hasty in what you're doing here now. Don't get too hasty. Let's hear that again. I'll hear it again. Seeing then that all these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. A few days ago in Oklahoma, I got a call from one of my friends, and she said, Preacher Moore, I'm old enough to be your grandpa. She said, Brother Moore, I've known her since she was a young lady before she married the boy she married. She said, they just checked my blood again, Brother Moore. It's lupus and leukemia. That's bad stuff. Do you know it? That's rough stuff. I'm going to tell you, he'll be with you when it's rough, boy. If you'll not run your mouth against him and say, any way you fix it, Lord, it's all right with me. I loved to hear Claude sing that, didn't you, Claude Ely? He wrote it. She called me from Missouri. Said, Brother Moore, they call me a lot. I'm an old man. They call me day and night. I answer them. She said, Brother Moore, I'm into it. They've been doctoring me down here and doctoring me down here, and their tests have all been run, and they say it's lupus and leukemia. That's close to the end of the line right there. Either one of them. I said, us don't take it. I'm going to ask you not to accept that. I'm asking you not to accept that. Us don't grab that. She said, they want to send me on up in another place and have them check me. All right, I said, you go up there, but let's don't take that. Let's don't believe that. Let's don't accept that now. Is that all right with you? She says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to accept. I'll go on up there, but let's don't believe that now. Let's don't believe that. Be not hasty. Be careful. Don't accept some things too quick now. You got to be careful to go one step at a time. It may not be as bad as it looks, David. May not work like it. It may work better than that. Yeah. It will, too. But look. 2 or 3 weeks went by now, and the phone rang the other day. Brother Moore, yeah. She said, oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Said they tested this stuff again. It tested all out. Don't show any sign of leukemia or lupus. Joey Hyde's wife, Tricia. That's it was, old Trish. Older since her daddy handed me his credit card to buy the gas. Go back and forth to Oklahoma City preaching the Bible text. That's back way years ago before she ever knew there's the joy in the world. That was Tricia Hyde. Rash. Did you ever hear anybody say, hush your mouth? Don't you wish you'd listen a time or two? You wouldn't have no teeth out of it, listen. It's better to take advice than just give you the big part of the time. Who am I talking to tonight? I want to ask you a bold question. I don't know whether you'd do a thing in the world with it or not. But can anybody just talk back to me a minute and tell what I preached on here? What's the word I preached on? What's that? Hasty. Could you be honest with me a minute? No traps? No traps. I don't keep a list of how many got saved or how many hands was raised. So I held a Pentecost holiness man, a great man. He is over the state of Western Slope, the state of Colorado, for many, many years, 25 years. He was a superintendent. Opened every church he had to me. Never asked me to join the organization. Opened every church he had to me. But I want to ask you something. You've been too hasty. Have you ever tried to do anything about that? You know you have. You've made your decisions without seeking the Lord about them. Amen. It's pretty hard when you marry 3 or 4 times and finally decide you ought to have been praying about that all the time. That's a little rough. Young people, I'm asking, old preacher man, seek God about these things before you make the wrong step. Listen, I had crooked teeth. I couldn't shut my mouth hardly without nearly busting my upper lip until I got these. I mean, it's rough stuff. I wasn't pretty. No, that's all the way it was, Ralph. I wasn't beautiful. But he loved me. She's called since I've been here. She's called and said, why didn't you call back? I forgot to. Is that awful? Don't do that, Mike. You must learn as I teach you. Don't do like I do. Do as I tell you. You want to be an old lady girl. The Lord lets you live till you're white-headed and your little children's grow up married and have an old man that say, Mama, I love you. You know the most beautiful woman, boy that my wife has ever seen? Can you guess what color his hair used to be and what it still is? Black. Too hasty, David. It hurts bad to pasture children, and I've tried 9 of them. At churches, it hurts to see them make a bad mistake. We had to marry. Somebody told me that. I've had different weddings. No, no, no. Nobody has to marry. Nobody has to marry. They told me about a Pentecost preacher down home that performed what's called a quickie wedding. I said, well, what is a quickie wedding? I've had some that didn't last too long. But what's a quickie? Do you know I'm preaching to 3 or 4 groups in here tonight? Just got one night to hold this revival. I've got a scar that long on my chest, and this leg's been cut that long. And I'm supposed to be dead, but since God let me stay, I said, I'll tell them what you want me to tell them, because it ain't going to be that long from here on, and I'll take a chance and do my very best to help them, rescue them. But look, they said they had to have a quickie wedding. I said, there ain't no such thing as having to have something like that. No, sir. Children have come to me, and I've had quite a few of them. Brother Moore said, may have to get married. Have to? It ain't all that bad to get married. If you love the one that you're going with and they love you, what do you mean you might have to get married? If it's that big a job, forget it. Yeah. Fella said I'd smack a man right in the mouth that asked me if the girl I was marrying was with child. I said, you better look at me then, because you may have to smack me right in the mouth, because I'm going to ask them. If I have any doubt at all, I'm going to ask them. What are you preaching on, Hasty? Quickie weddings. I'm preaching on quickie weddings, David. You better go say an amen, because this thing's getting serious. I'm talking to young people now. Young folks, you don't have to listen to me, because Mike will tell you, and a few others will tell you. I know that. Rabbi will tell you. But I'm telling you from Oklahoma now, you're getting this from all over the country. Lord revealed to me that one of my young girls was with child. But the more you're spooky, you know I'm not. I'm afraid to look at him, afraid he knows everything I've done. I don't know everything you've done, but I might know something pretty quick if you keep acting funny. Lord revealed to me this young lady was with child of her boyfriend. Anybody can tell that? No, you can't. Now, everybody can tell that. It's a long while for everybody to tell that. I'm talking plain, but I'm talking young people, son, and they're yours and others. But Brother Moore's telling you something about this hasty business tonight. I knew I was going to fire a shotgun wide. I knew that. I knew that when I got this thought. I knew that. Her mother got so mad she could kill me, girl. She got mad enough to shoot Brother Moore. He's quit singing my girl with the choir, the youth choir. She's as good as any of that bunch up there. I thought you'll see after a while. I told you God revealed it to me, see. Lord, your thing like that, Brother Moore, well, you better watch out. I'm not running around looking for somebody to point the finger at. But God's watching you. Watching you. Some morning that Sunday school teacher get upset. Don't know why. I don't even feel like using a lesson I had this morning. There's another lesson coming to me about daylight, and he knows what you are and what you said and what you done. That Sunday school teacher just whacked you all to pieces. Never know they done it. You believe there's a God that watches?
No, was everything sunny? Don't you? Well, I wouldn't sing her no more. Never told nobody. Mama talked to me worse than a dog. She wanted to run me off. She wanted to shoot me. She wanted to kill me. Wasn't doing a girl right. Done wrong. Done pitiful. Bad. All that stuff, see.